What's up, everybody, and welcome to the Occupation Nation podcast. This is season one, episode three. And on this show, we're talking to Rachel Perriman about what it is to be a principal. I actually learned a lot from this podcast just because you kind of have an idea somewhat of what a principal is. You think you do. And then it turns out that they do a lot more stuff than what was first realized by me, at least. So it was really interesting to hear what she goes through in a typical day and what she has to deal with, weekly, daily, monthly, who she looks over, how she interacts with the kids. So I hope you all enjoy, and be sure to subscribe, like, review, comment, whatever you want to do. Just let us know how it's going, if it's going good, if it's going bad. Also, be sure to get the word out there and share with as many people as you can. So with that all said and done, let's get into the interview. So I want to talk about what you do now, but I also want to talk about what you did to get to where you are. Because, I mean, you're at a pretty high-level position, right? I mean,
I guess you could say that.
Yeah. I mean, you're
not... It's not entry-level.
Yeah, exactly. It's not entry-level. So that's why I want to talk to you. Because if someone is saying, hey, I want to be a principal or whatever, I mean, they got to know what to do. So first thing we'll do is, what is your occupation and what's your title?
So I'm a principal at an intermediate school, grades 4 through 6.
Okay.
In Marshall County Public School.
Okay. And how long have you been doing that?
This is my 5th year as a principal. Before that, I was 2 years as an assistant principal and 7 years as a teacher.
Okay. As a principal, what is a normal, like when you get there in the morning, what do you do?
First thing, in any job in education, there is no normal day.
Okay. That's fair. That's fair.
Because you have no idea what you're going to do. What I try to do is get on my computer and check my emails, and then go and check on the kids who are waiting for class to start. At any given time, there could be an emergency. There could be a parent phone call. There could be a number of things happen that deter you for what you think you're going to do that day.
So how do you give yourself things you have to do in a day and you're like, all right, these are what I kind of need to do, but then you just got to roll with whatever happens.
You got to prioritize.
Oh, okay.
Time management is really important. Otherwise you'll be spinning your wheels.
Yeah. You're the person that people come to when they have a problem, right?
Yes.
Normally. So you're interacting with parents, you're interacting with kids. Are you the disciplinary, you know?
I delegate that to my assistant principal.
Okay. I thought that's kind of how it worked, but I didn't know if it was different.
There's no defined role. Some principals feel like they're stronger in the area of discipline, and so they take the discipline, and the assistant principal is the instructional leader. I love curriculum assessment instruction, so I try to take on those tasks, and my assistant principal's really good with discipline. So
okay. Well, that's
how
good
we split it up.
Yeah, that's good that you have that split there. Is teaching something you always wanted to do? Did you know you wanted to do that?
I played teacher when I got home from school every day.
And what is it about, like, back then, what did you like about it? Did you like the idea of being able to teach kids or work with kids? Or
I think back then, I just admired my teachers.
Okay, that's
and
fair.
And I wanted to be like them.
That's fair. Did you go to West Hills and all that? Was that
I
all
did.
That?
I went to West Hills, and it was the best school because there was just a sense of fun. Mm-hmm. My principal and my assistant principal, it was John David Pierce and Sherry Park. And they gave you an atmosphere of fun, and you felt loved, and it was a happy place. And I wanted to keep that.
It makes a huge difference. Yeah.
It makes a huge difference.
Yeah. Because I know, I mean, just based off different principals, it can just feel dreadful. You're like, oh, man.
Yeah. And
especially when they get on the, like, intercom, and you're like, oh, man, this person. But then, like you said, if it's fun, if you're having a good time, if they're involved, that's when it's the best.
And they learn better when they're happy.
I was about to say, it makes school better in general. Like,
you're more connected.
Yeah, exactly. At the beginning of your career, what did you have to do to get started? Like, did you go to college?
Yes.
Okay. Where'd you go to school?
I went to Tennessee Tech
okay.
for my bachelor's.
Nice.
So that's where I got my bachelor's in elementary education. So I was certified to teach grades K through 6. Now I think the certification is 1 through 5. They've changed that.
Okay. So what are some of the classes you had to take when you were there?
A lot of educational foundations, child psychology, Ooh, that was a long time ago.
So, I mean, the normal, like, you know, maths and Englishes and things.
The general classes,
right.
Biology, things that everybody takes for the first 2 years.
So after those first 2 years, that's when you got into the
educational classes.
You're focusing in. I got you. So how long did you have to do the student teaching and things like that?
When I went, I had to do student teaching for a semester. I think they've changed that now. There's a student teaching for a semester, but they've added in a lot of practicums where instead of sitting in a college classroom, you're sitting in an elementary classroom. Or if you're a high school major, you'd be sitting in a high school setting.
Okay.
So they're trying to push the teacher candidates out of the college classrooms and into the real classrooms so they can get an idea of what it's like more.
I mean, that's pretty cool that they have that.
Yeah.
I know Tech is a engineering school. How did you end up there? Did you just like the school?
I like that it was small. I know Lewisburg sounds big coming from Chapel Hill, but Lewisburg's small.
Yeah.
And it really intimidated me to go to Murfreesboro. The parking, you know, in Knoxville was just a whole nother issue.
Yeah, that's a whole nother level.
I was really intimidated. So Tennessee Tech's really small. It only had like 3,000 kids when I went, and I'd had a really good program.
So you like Tech?
Loved it.
Yeah. I almost went there. I went to UAH, but Tech was neck and neck, and I really like Cookeville. I just like that area up there. It's a good spot.
It's sort of a small town, too.
Yeah, it's got that feel to it. That's why I liked it. So how much did it take? What's a normal going to Tech, like a four-year degree? What's that going for now? Do you know off the top?
Well, I know what I'm paying for my child to go to college right now. I would say for a whole four-year degree, $40,000.
Oh, okay.
But there's, of course, so many scholarships out there.
Yeah, so that's what I wanted to lead into is that helped me a lot. I mean, we didn't have much money, so scholarships are clutch. And there's so many out there.
Yeah.
I mean, there are like millions that you could do, and they're so specific.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing you need to look forward to is scholarships. And if you got to write a paper, suck it up and write the paper. Because I never did. I was like, I ain't writing no paper, and I'm paying for it now.
Yep.
So
literally.
Literally paying for it. And I'm going to be paying for it for a little while. So do those stupid papers. Trust me.
Yes.
Because those scholarships are clutch. And so did you do it in 4 years?
I actually did mine in 2.5. But
all right.
Well,
all right.
What happened was my parents told me that they would pay for 4 years of school.
Mm-hmm.
Bottom line.
Okay.
So I said, I'm going to have my master's in 4 years if we're going to be like that.
There you go. So 4 years, that's what I got. Let's do it.
So they kind of had to eat their words, but they had to pay for my master's because I did the intercessions and the summer classes.
I was about to ask you, so how many hours did you do in a semester there?
I started out my freshman year taking 18, and I ended up they would only allow me to take 18 my freshman year. First semester. I think the second semester they allowed me to take overload, so I took about 25 from then on out.
Oh my
goodness. But I had no job. My parents told me that I could be a full-time student, so I took advantage of it.
So I was lazy. I was a full-time student, and I only took 16. And I thought I was freaking grinding.
I don't know that I'm recommending for people to do that.
Yeah, but it's possible.
It is possible.
You are the only person I know that have taken that many. That's impressive.
Well, and again, it was kind of like a scholarship. I was motivated.
Yeah, it really, trust me, like I said, I'm paying for it now. So looking back, if that was me, I'd be the same way.
I was on a ticking time bomb.
So you knew you had to get your master's? That was your end game for that?
I knew that I wanted to teach.
Mm-hmm.
And I never thought that I would end up in administration. But I knew with teaching, I wanted to have my master's because teachers are paid on a step scale. So you're paid more if you have your master's as a teacher than you are if you only have a bachelor's.
So you knew from the get, needed that.
I was going to get it.
Why, compared to your undergraduate, what is the master's? How does that compare? Like, are you going to classes? Did you do it online?
I did a lot online.
Okay.
I did. When I finished up my master's, I was already teaching. So I couldn't drive to Murfreesboro. I got my master's at MTSU.
Okay.
And I couldn't drive to Murfreesboro during the day. So I took a couple of night classes, but mostly I did my master's online.
I got you.
And so it's a lot of writing and a lot of work, but not a lot of class time.
Gotcha. So it's all on your own. Did you have a lot of classes that were, based on, you have homework or quizzes this week, or did they just kind of dump it on you and say, get this done by the end of the semester?
On my online classes, I would have deadlines.
Okay.
So it was sort of, as you go.
Because I've seen it both ways. I had it sometimes where they would say weekly, or some they would just dump it and say, have this done by the end of the semester. So.
Right. And time management is really important if they dump it on you like that.
That's why I was going to ask, because, man, I struggled with that. When I was in college, just having that responsibility, because I'd be like, I'll do that later, whatever. And then, like, in the semester, you're just crunching. Yes,
and that's miserable.
Yeah, that's horrible. So with your job, when you started out, where did you start out at? When you came out of college, you went where?
When I came out of college, I went straight into a classroom. Sixth grade classroom. Absolutely loved it. It's still my favorite job that I've ever done.
Really?
Is teach.
Where was that at?
It was at West Hills. I'm actually the principal of West Hills now.
Okay. Wow. All right. So sixth grade, you were teaching. And then what was your next step after that?
After teaching, I actually ended up in administration by accident. I love curriculum and instruction. So there was an opening for elementary supervisor. So it was a curriculum position in charge of elementary curriculum. I applied for it and I didn't get it. And I was so disappointed, and I thought, you know, I really thought it was time for me to move out of the classroom. I wanted to hold on to the classroom, but at the same time, I felt like it was time to move on.
So did you feel like you were kind of being held back? Were you ready to grow your career? Is that
yes,
what you mean?
I was ready to grow my career. I was ready to try something different because I was a teacher leader, and I wanted to be in a leadership position. But I always thought that it would be in curriculum instruction at the central office. I never saw myself out of school as an administrator. But I didn't get that job, thank goodness, now looking back on it, because I would have been away from the kids. It would have drawn me to the central office. I wouldn't have relationships with the students. Mm-hmm. So it was a good thing in retrospect. But about a week after I didn't get that job, an assistant principal's job came open, and I was strongly encouraged to apply for it by one of my mentors that happened to be one of my principals. And so I did, and I got it. And then I went, oh my goodness, what if I did?
Yeah. So was it a whole different world to
whole
you?
Different world, but I absolutely loved it. When I accepted the position, I had no idea what I was getting into. Mm-hmm. Like, what is my day going to be like? I thought the reason that I had not wanted to be a building administrator is because they deal with all these fires and problems, and I didn't think I had thick enough skin, really.
Okay. You got to have that, right?
You have to have thick skin. You're not going to make everybody happy. And when you're dealing with people's children, then people are really
passionate. It's like dealing with people's money.
It is. Money and children are the two most important things to people. But people get very heated and very passionate sometimes. And so, yes, you have to be able to keep a level head, and you have to be thick-skinned.
And that's at any level, right? I mean, even when you're a teacher, you got to be able to handle that.
Yes.
Like you said, you're directly working with their kids, so
you've got their biggest
that's mama
asset.
Bear and the cubs. You can't get in between them. I got you. So you started this, and did it go well? Did you?
I absolutely loved it.
So it did go well.
Yes.
Okay, that's good. So
I realized that the days that you have to have thick skin are few and far between, and most days are just wonderful. So
I got you. And so did you still get to go out and be with the kids and all that, and interact with them and things like that?
Yes, it was a different role, and I missed the closeness when I was in the classroom. Mm-hmm. I had a lot more intimate interactions, and they knew me better. I knew them better. I knew their first, middle, and last name and what their favorite color was.
Right.
And they knew the same about me. And it's a different kind of interaction. I get to be focused on the whole child, where in the classroom, I was so focused on academics. Mm-hmm. I can sort of see the whole picture when I step back from it. So it's just a different kind of relationship, but the relationship still exists. And so
that's good.
I still have.
And that would be important to me, because I'll be honest, I thought about being a teacher, and that idea of having that interaction is what always kind of brought me to it. Because when you're teaching someone something or talking to them and they get it, it's like,
it's amazing.
Yeah.
Best feeling ever.
Yeah. That is so awesome. So now I'm going to switch gears and go back to what your day looks like. So what are your hours, first of all?
I usually get there between 6:45 and 7. And I usually am able, now that I've done it for several years, I'm usually able to walk out the door by 3:30 or 4. I wait for the last kid to leave. We always have a couple kids whose parents forgot to pick them up. So I definitely wait with them. And once they're gone, I'm gone. I'll email at night, but I really don't. I'm really able to get it done in that time frame now that I've done it for a little while.
Yeah.
So as a new principal, that was not the case.
Yeah, I'm sure. And so I know for me, I get a lot of emails in a day. What about for you?
Do
you get
a million.
Okay. Okay. I wasn't sure how it worked on your in your role here, but man, emails are crazy. So you, how do you find time to answer all these emails while also, you know, being out there with the kids and showing face and do that? How do you do that?
That's tough. To be honest, I have my email on my phone and I'm just always glancing.
I got gotcha.
And getting rid of, you know, things or shooting back the 1 and 2 and 3 word answer emails that I can do from my phone. So I'm just always on top of it and I never let it build up. So my inbox, I just try really hard to keep it down, you know, worked down so that it doesn't become overwhelming. But, I mean, I take my cell phone with me all over the building. And so I might be sitting in a classroom, watching some instruction and I might be able to answer a couple quick emails there. Maybe when I'm, you know, in the cafeteria and the gym, when they're eating lunch, I can, you know, glance down and answer a couple of things there. So I just try to kill two birds with one stone as much as possible.
Yeah. I mean, I figured you kind of had to do that just because of the sheer amount that you get and you can't let it build up or you're just going to get wrecked after you try to do it. Is there any weekly routine that you have to meet or do you kind of just roll with each day and where do you, I don't know how to ask, where do you get your like daily stuff from? Do you get them in your emails or like the central office say, hey, you need to do that this week? Or you're saying, hey, I need to meet these teachers. They need to do this week. What do you do?
Well, the only set things I have on my schedule, we have IEP meetings that we schedule as needed for students, you know, with disabilities. So I've got those set on my schedule. And then we have PLC meetings, and that stands for Professional Learning Community. And that's where I'm an instructional leader, and that's actually my love. So that's where we plan instruction, and we say, these are the materials we're going to use for that. This is how we're going to assess that. That's my favorite part. So I meet with each department. So those are scheduled meetings. And then once a month, we have a principal's meeting at the central office, and they give us a list of things to do. And it's kind of like what you asked about the master's class. They give you all these things to do, and they don't necessarily give you due dates. They just expect that it be done.
Gotcha.
So you have to, you know, prioritize, use good time management, get that done, everything that needs to be done. As a principal, you're sort of a funnel. So, you know, you have the HR department who needs to have somebody hired. You've got to deal with that. You have the curriculum department who's wanting to raise these test scores. You've got to deal with that. All these different roles at the central office, the maintenance department, you need to make sure that, you know, your
bathrooms are running and
well maintained. That's right.
Okay. So I'm glad you brought that up because I never thought about that stuff because, I mean, I never really directly worked with a principal before. I mean, you know, the teacher is teaching, but what does a principal do? And I never thought about all those different, because you're the person that has to answer all those questions, right?
Yes.
Like, okay, we need to, all right, that bathroom's not working. We need to get that working. Okay, this person's getting hired. Are you directly in the interview process?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So you got to deal with that as well. And then you got all the teachers you got to keep in line. All right. It's a lot.
It is.
It's a lot. So do you have to travel a lot as being a principal?
I usually don't travel out of Middle Tennessee. So it's not a whole lot of travel. And it's usually confined in my work hours. Might have to leave at like 6 instead of 6:30.
Right.
And I might get back at 4:30 instead of 3:30.
Okay.
But it's not, you know.
Yeah.
There's an offer to spend the night, but you don't have to because it's all, you know, right there in Middle Tennessee.
Gotcha. So do you work more than like 40-something hours a week? Or do you usually hit around like 40, 42 hours a week?
I would say I work close to 40 hours a week.
Okay. I didn't know. You get a lot done, so I didn't know if that was like a 50-hour work week or what.
Well,
it was.
I can't account for the time that I sit at home and email from my phone, which I do that every single night. I don't know how long I do that because I do it as it pops up.
I got you.
And
okay, that's fair.
You know, if I'm in my pajamas, I don't count it as work. So
that's fair. Well, that's
there's
good.
This sense of always having to be available, but not always having to be at the building. So,
I got you. So you count the building as your
when
hours.
I'm at the building, 40 hours. Probably.
Gotcha. So are you out and about a lot, or are you in your office a lot?
I would say half and half.
Okay.
I've got this paperwork that has to be done, and then I've got the need to be with my teachers and students and know what's going on in my building.
So, do you have to be out, and like when the kids are showing up in the morning, are you out like saying hey to everybody?
Because
I always remember
best.
Our principals doing that. So, and I love that. I like being able to see. I had Mr. Delk, so.
Oh, you know, he was out. Yes.
Yeah, he's always out
he
doing
did great
his thing.
With that.
So, if I'm looking to be a teacher, What is some of the qualities that you as a interviewer would look for?
When I interview, and I interview all the time, I want to feel a sense of passion and a sense of purpose.
Okay.
Because there's so much heart in this job. It's mm-hmm. not like a business career to me. You know, I think you can't do it for the money because the money's not there. It's yeah. not terrible money,
yeah.
but you're not going to make six figures either. Mm-hmm. You almost have to have, and to be able to stay positive and deal with the issues that you have to deal with, we see some really sad things and mm-hmm. some really disturbing things and mm-hmm. some really wonderful things, but you got to right. have a heart for it. You got to have a passion. You got to have a purpose. So look for that, you know, first and foremost. Mm-hmm. Is this somebody that truly cares about what they're going to do?
Mm-hmm. Because do you feel like that's super important in a role? Like that is the most important thing is you have to have passion about it?
I think so. And then yeah. the ability to work with a team to use your passion to channel through to the students. You mm-hmm. got to have teamwork and communication skills so that you can get your purpose done.
I gotcha.
So yeah. those are three biggies.
Yeah. I mean, that makes total sense though, because if you're working with kids and like you said, I know teachers are, there's like this stigma of you don't make a lot of money, but you can. I mean,
there's some perks.
I was about to say, it's not all about money. I know you guys have amazing benefits. I hear that. Yeah. So that alone, you know, maybe it's not an income, but it basically is, because right. I always loved the idea of being able to, you know, be with kids every week and, yep. and learn or teach them and watch them learn. So do you think that that is really rewarding in that job? Do you think that's probably the most rewarding thing?
Absolutely.
So you can look forward to that.
As a teacher, I got to see them grow academically a whole lot. Mm-hmm. But when you step back from it and you watch them for 3 years,
like grow up,
you watch them grow up. So they come to you and they're 9 and then they leave you and they're about to be teenagers.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I could see that.
You get to see social development mm-hmm. As well as academic development. It's that's the best.
That's
part.
Like a long game type deal.
Yes.
That's cool. What are some of the best parts of it?
Besides, you know, the rewards you get with the kids, mm-hmm. There's a really nice schedule involved. Mm-hmm. You are never scheduled to work on a Saturday or a Sunday.
That's awesome.
I mean, very rare. Maybe there's a PTO event, but very rare.
Very rare.
You know, you get fall break, you get spring break, you get a summer break.
Yeah.
You know, Christmas I don't get break. As many as a principal, but there's a lot of people who envy my schedule. I know mm-hmm. I work an 11-month schedule. Teachers work a 10. Mm. But still, I mean, can't beat it with a family.
That's huge. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is huge right there, because I know with my job, I could work anytime. So that helps a lot if you have kids. So what are some of the downsides? Like, what are some of the things you're like, man, if you're going into this, be careful of this or look for this.
Yes. Know what you want to do, because when you get a business degree, you can do a million things. When you get a teaching degree, you can teach. Mm-hmm. So know that's
so what have a game
you
plan
to do. Yes.
Like, know you're being a teacher.
Yes. Know that's what you want.
If I'm looking to get a teaching degree or a teaching job, I'm just out of college, where do I go to find information for that?
So every district has a central office. Sometimes it's called the Board of Education. Mm-hmm. And every single one of them has an HR director, human resources. Mm-hmm. And get the application in. You'll get called for interviews. A lot of times it's a good idea if you're going to school to be a teacher and mm-hmm. you do want to have a job, if you can be an assistant, if you can be a substitute, you can get your foot in the door before you start interviewing for a teaching position. That's really good to you know, be a familiar face. The principals can watch you work with children mm-hmm. and they know how you are. And that's really helpful in getting a job. I guess that's it. You'll get your call from the interview.
That's the path, huh?
That's the path.
You just go on there. So do you go online for that, or do you have to actually go there?
I think all counties now have it online, or you can do it by paper.
Okay. When should I start applying for these jobs? Like if I'm in college, mm-hmm. when should I start applying?
When you're student teaching.
Okay. That's the timeline mm-hmm. on that? All right. Because I always wondered that. I know for me, it was hard to figure that out. So I just started early as possible, but I know some people that don't do it until they graduate. And
right.
I'm like, that's scary.
Yeah.
I want to roll into this. I didn't do these 4 years for nothing.
Yeah. So, you want to get your name out there when you're student teaching for sure, because their jobs come available. They're few and far between. You know, mm-hmm. there's this benefit called tenure that I didn't mention because it's job security and that's a wonderful thing.
Yeah. How does that work? I want to get into that for a second. I don't know how it works.
Well, in 2000, I can't remember exactly the year, but roughly 10 years ago, the tenure law was changed. I'm the old tenure. You have to do one of five really bad things. To like insubordination, you have to show really, really bad character, you know, participate in illegal things. There's five different things, and they're all things that most people would not do. Mm. You have to do one of those things to get fired.
Oh, I gotcha.
So now under the new tenure, the other thing that is added is that if your test scores are terrible years and years in a row, you can lose tenure. Mm. So there's that, but there's still a lot of security. And it's still, you know, the district has to go through a pretty hard process to dismiss a tenured teacher, even under the new tenure laws.
And how do you get tenure?
When I got it was 3 years.
Oh, okay.
And you had to have pretty good evaluations from your principal, and you had to be recommended after 3 years. Now it's 5 years, and the last 2 years you have to either be a level four or a level five, according to your observations and evaluation.
Okay, I was going to ask you whatever that level
Do you give levels? I do.
Are you the level giver?
I do observations. Mm. And so we're under the team rubric, which you rate different areas from a one to five. So my observations count half of a teacher's assigned level. Mm. And then the other part is from test scores.
So they are super important.
Test scores are important.
Yeah.
Much more important than when I started.
I gotcha.
And that can be a drawback for a lot of people.
Because then teachers start really focusing and worrying crazy amounts about the test scores, I guess.
It is a stress factor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I could see that. When you started, was it a different kind of landscape than it is now?
Yes.
Was it a lot more... What's different about it?
It was a lot more autonomy.
Okay.
And that comes with its benefits and its drawbacks. So what we're trying to do in education is make good, effective practices systemic so that it doesn't matter if I get Ms. Perryman or Mr. Smith, mm-hmm. that I'm going to be exposed to the same quality curriculum and the same quality of instruction.
Okay.
So back in the day when I taught, it was very, very teacher-led, and you got to kind of pick what you did. Mm. And it might have been good, and it might have been bad, and you might have sat behind your desk and not done a whole lot, or you might have been, you know, busting it and really making good gains with kids. Mm-hmm. But we've had a lot of increased accountability with the test scores, and that comes, you know, with a price because it is a stress factor.
Right.
But at the same time, it gives the teachers a solid curriculum goal to strive for. Mm-hmm. I know what the kids need to learn. This is what I need to be doing in my classroom to make that happen. Mm-hmm. So I would say that, you know, curriculum is much more aligned where when you're in the fourth grade, you're no matter who you get, you're learning this. Mm-hmm. And instruction is more systemic as far as its quality.
Mm-hmm. Has that been hard trying to get older teachers to work that way?
You know, I have the best staff in the world, and I really mean that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's good, because I could see that being a problem.
They want to be good. There's this thing with teachers. You go into it because you're passionate. I've talked about that. Mm-hmm. And they want to help kids, and so they want to be good. And so if you tell them things that will make them good, they will embrace them, for the most part.
Yeah.
You got your outliers.
Right. That's good that you don't have to worry about that, because that's just another thing that you have to worry about.
I have been met with nothing but positivity with my teachers. I've been blessed.
That's good. So how does your, like, vacation and PTO work? Does that build over the year, or do you get set, like, oh, you get, like, 4 sick days a year, or how's that work?
Well, actually, I get you get a sick day a month, so I work an 11-month contract. I get 11 sick days.
Do they roll over?
The sick and personal do, and then I get 11 vacation days.
Gotcha.
And the vacation don't.
Okay.
So they're use or lose.
Okay. What do you think people saw in you to tell you, hey, you should get into a leadership position?
Well, I've always been bossy.
Okay. Hey, that's an important role, I think.
I'm a little bit A-type. I would say that as a teacher, I was organized. When I was in the classroom, I was a young teacher, and I think I was hesitant to be bossy to my older peers. But I think I built some really good relationships with them. They were really sweet, nice people. They bragged on me to my principal. Mm-hmm. They probably made me look good.
Yeah.
But when I think it was teamwork too. Like, I enjoyed being with my peers. I was a team player. And then I think just I loved the curriculum. I could talk curriculum. I could talk data. And I think that impressed some people. Mm-hmm. I wasn't the best teacher in the world, but I loved it, and I tried my very best every day. So I gave it 100%.
That's all you can ask for.
Right.
You're either going to be good or you're going to be
bad. And my kids learned. They learned. There were things now that if I went back in the classroom, I've been able in this role to watch teachers, and I'm like, oh my goodness, if I ever went back to the classroom, I'd be so much better because I would do this and this and this, and mm-hmm. it's all things I've gotten to see. Mm-hmm. So I would never claim to be, you know, the best teacher in the world, because there is no best teacher in the world. You're always growing. You're always getting new ideas. You're always getting better. But I think, you know, what maybe made people encourage me to apply for a leadership position was just the fact, you know, that I teamwork, communication, mm-hmm. and just knowledge. And that knowledge was just based on my love for it. I was digging in it. I was nerdy about it.
Mm-hmm. So when you say curriculum, does that mean the subjects they're talking about or what they talk about? What does that mean?
Well, really, when I talk about curriculum, I'm not mm-hmm. just talking about the content.
Okay.
It's delivery.
Okay.
And
so
like,
it's even more than just what yes. you think of when you think of school subjects. It's actually right. teaching them and getting them to do
strategies.
These things and
yeah,
understanding.
Strategy, resources, materials. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, and that's the part that always really interests you, is that?
Yes.
And when you say you had data, what kind of data did you throw out of there? Like, the kids started here and ended up here.
Right.
Is that an example?
That's an example.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I don't know anything about that.
Yes.
So,
and here's where we were weak, and here's where we were strong. So here's what we need to do about it before we get to the next step.
And I feel like you should know that. I mean, it seems super important to me. If I'm teaching someone, I need to know where they're at. I mean, I don't want to teach some kid something he already knows. So when you were teaching, did you have someone kind of mentor you? And I know you said you had a mentor, but did they help you in the classroom? Or
really,
did you just kind of roll with and just do your own thing and figure it out on your own? Or
I wasn't assigned a mentor. I call my principal, you know, my mentor, mm-hmm. because she was really the one that encouraged me to take a leadership position. She kept telling me I was a great teacher.
Mm.
I appreciate that out of her because yeah. I needed some confidence. You never know if you're quite doing
yeah.
it right. And so she was always telling me, you're so good, you know, and then she kept giving me leadership positions within the school and kept encouraging me to become a leader, you know, mm-hmm. and she really tooted my horn.
Well,
and I appreciate that.
That's what
from
you
her.
Need. That's what you need, man.
But unofficially, the mentors become those really nice teachers on your hallway.
I got you.
That have a lot of experience.
Who you're with every day.
Yeah.
You're in the trenches, so to speak.
Yes.
Okay.
And you know who is just, you know, really respectable. And a lot of times it's somebody that might have taught you.
Yeah. Yeah. I could see that. I could see that. If you do start out as a teacher, is there any sort of, like a week, you know, for 6 weeks you're with this person? Or is it like, hey, you're out of college, we're hiring you as this teacher, you got to be ready day one?
Yeah, you jump in.
Okay, that's what I thought.
There's a little training, like a new teacher orientation for one day, but basically you get thrown in that classroom.
And you got to have your room ready, you got to have all your good yep. stuff. That's
and what people do is the teachers on your hall, every single time they flock around you and they go, you're going to need to do this and you're going to need to do that, because that's just the way teachers are.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's helpful. Of course, that's
yes.
how teachers are, like you
and
said.
And that's why we survive our first year.
Yeah. Was that nerve-wracking? Like your
yes.
first day? Like,
yes.
All right, kids are here. It's game time. So
yes.
what were you thinking? Or do you remember? Or were you just like,
I was shell-shocked.
Yeah, I bet. I mean, when
I
the
was
kids
just
are
thinking,
there,
I hope I don't mess these kids up.
And they're all looking at you like, all right, teacher. And you're like, so here on the board, yeah.
You make a lot of mistakes. And so your training is learning from your mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
So your training is never thinking that you're perfect, always learning from your mistakes and fixing those mistakes. You really have to do a lot of reflection. So you're
yeah.
self-training
yeah.
Through reflection.
Mm-hmm.
And that's totally so important.
So what about as being a principal?
Oh,
you just kind of
yeah.
do what you think is right and roll with it?
Yeah, and connect to other principals is really important. Build some relationships there because you're going to need advice.
Mm.
Because you can make a small mistake in a classroom that might give a kid a misconception, but as a principal, you can make a really big boo-boo.
Yeah.
So,
just
yeah.
Just because you are more than the teacher they look at, you're
solving some heavy
issues.
You're
everything at that level. I mean, it's a big deal. So I could see why your decisions are have such this shockwave.
Right.
I mean, you're affecting so many people with your decision. So at the end of the day, what do you think someone needs to have or do to be successful as a teacher, but also be able to be successful in their career?
Besides a passion for it.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta have good character. You gotta be someone that people respect.
Okay.
So
you gotta care for people.
You do. You have to build relationships and expertise and be someone that people respect. Because, you know, you can be put in the position of a principal and be totally ineffective, because if you don't have the respect of your staff, they're not gonna listen to anything you say.
Mm-hmm.
So you do have to earn that respect. My job's a little bit political, you know, you deal with the public a whole lot, and if you mm-hmm. don't carry yourself with respect and integrity,
mm-hmm.
Then it'll be hard to be effective.
Yeah, I could see that. Like you said, you're the head honcho. So, and you're the person that a lot of these parents are going to go to. You're almost like the manager of like
yes,
a team.
It is.
You're like, all right, these are all the decisions. Okay, you guys are the players, but I'm having to make the tough calls, right? So you got to be ready for that.
Yeah.
How long do you think someone needs to be a teacher before they're ready? I mean, obviously it's probably different for other people, but do you say it's like 5 years to get comfortable?
On paper, it's usually 5 years. So districts get to make their own decisions about the minimum that they put on the job posting.
Okay.
So our district a lot of times has a minimum of 5 years on the job posting. I would say you need to have a really good understanding of what it takes to reach a child academically, socially. And, you know, there's really just no number you can put on it. You've just got to have that understanding of how the classroom works before you're able to manage multiple classrooms.
Mm-hmm. I want to get more into what you do in a day. So, like I said, you get there in the mornings, but what are some of the things you do in your office? What are some of the things you do outside your office?
One of the things I have to do is budget. So every day I'm spending school money.
I didn't know that.
We have this need. We have to meet this need. Let me go through my budget and find some money for this. And, you know, just planning the budget so that we're not just haphazardly throwing money here and there and yonder.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to put together a yearly plan for the budget first. And then as things come in that meet our yearly goals that, you know, this year we're going to really work to be one-on-one, you know, a device for every kid.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if there's a need that comes through that really speaks to that goal, then, yep, it might get approved in the budget. Mm-hmm. Or I might say, you know what, this is not a priority because we don't get enough money in education. I'll throw that out there.
Yeah. Hey,
our kids are really important. We need millions and millions.
I've heard that.
But, yeah, I mean, we have to make that money, you know, work for our kids.
Mm-hmm.
Safety is a really big charge. You know, we have to make sure that the building is safe, that we're secure as far as who's coming in that building.
Especially now.
I'm
not saying it was never safe, but now it's a spotlight on that key point,
yes,
is safety. So
yes,
that's another role you have to fit.
That's the stuff that'll give you nightmares at night,
yeah,
if you think about it too much.
Yeah, I bet.
I have a great SRO who really helps me. So you got to know how to delegate. So mm-hmm. that's his expertise. He really knows how to keep that building secure. So by talking to him, I can make plans that are best for students.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of my job is finding who's better at something than I am and listening to him.
Well, I think that's any good boss is that way.
Well, he gives me some great advice about that. So, you know, we've got plans for if this happens or if mm-hmm. that happens. And that's really something that I'm responsible for doing and practicing with them. I'm expected to communicate well on the daily, all the time, 24/7. You ask me a question, you need a straight answer, or
yeah,
I need to smooth over this situation with this parent who's really, really angry because they've got a misconception about what the teacher said, or,
you know,
communication, problem solving.
Yeah.
That's throughout the day as it comes up. I've got to create schedules for students, and I want to do what's best for them again. So this student has this issue. Let me make sure that I put them in the best possible environment this year with a teacher who's really good with this kind of issue, that kind of thing. That's a lot of the work that I do over the summer. And then as new kids come in all the time. And I arrange services for them. So we've got kids with 504s, with IEPs that need special services for academics, even physical impairments. Hmm. So got to arrange all that. Got to make my people have schedules that fit to meet the needs of the kids throughout the day. Mm-hmm. You know, even the nurse with the diabetics. You got to make sure.
So you do all this.
Do all that, yeah. And my assistant principal is a huge help.
Yeah.
He helps look over it and make sure I haven't completely messed it up.
Well, that's good.
And he gives me a lot of feedback, a lot of ideas, because he knows how the whole picture of how the building works. So he's a big part of that team that does that planning part.
Mm-hmm.
The discipline portion, that's the one that can be really hairy. That's one of the big question marks of the day. You know, will Sally have a big fit that lasts 45 minutes that takes a big chunk of my day? Or will it all go smooth and nobody gets in trouble and that doesn't take any time at all? So my assistant...
is it rare that that happens?
No.
Okay.
No. So, you know, you get kids from all kinds of backgrounds and with all kinds of different needs. And a lot of kids have some emotional needs. And so fits aren't necessarily rare. So my assistant principal, he handles a lot of the discipline, but there's this whole other aspect of, you know, it's not really even a discipline issue. This child has special needs.
Mm.
She's screaming. She's crying. We've got to find out how to make this
There's more
stop.
To this than just a surface level
yeah.
solution.
Yeah, so it's not always you go to the office, you get ISS, you get OSS, yeah. you get a Padlin, you get
yeah.
it's not always that cut and dry. Mm-hmm. So sometimes we've got to hold hands for 45 minutes until the tears stop, and that takes a chunk of the day. Yeah. And you can't plan for it.
So that's another thing, you got to be able to adapt.
Yes.
You mean every, like you said, all these, your problem solving. I didn't realize how much problem solving there is.
Yes.
I mean, you are constantly having to adapt and figure out, all right, here's the situation. Here's what we need to do to fix it.
Yes. That's probably with any leadership job.
Yeah. I mean,
lots of problems to solve.
I didn't realize how many hats you wore. That's a lot of hats.
Yeah. It can feel like a lot of hats. My director of school said one time, sometimes I feel like I don't get paid enough and sometimes I feel like I get paid too much. So when everything goes according to plan, I'm like, wow.
You're like, all right.
If I wasn't here, it would be the same.
Yeah. Like, why am I here? This is awesome.
And then there are days when I don't get to eat.
Yeah.
Or, you know, go to the bathroom.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, that, and then instructional leader, my favorite hat, you know, planning instruction, making sure that, you know, there's quality instruction, quality curriculum, quality materials. And then interviewing and hiring.
So is that working directly with teachers?
Yeah.
When you're doing the instructional stuff?
Yes.
Okay.
We plan through and with them. And then...
Do you only teach teachers at your school, or do you kind of do these conferences or things?
I just work with teachers in my school. Okay. I've done a couple of conferences where somebody's asked me to present on something, and that's fine. But the real meat of the work that I do is definitely with my teachers, because we work as a team. And
that's what I thought. Yeah. I just didn't know if you had to expand that boundary a little.
I don't have to. You know, sometimes I get asked to, and that's fine. I don't, you know... I don't mind it, yeah, but that's not it, my important work.
I got you. Okay. Well, again, thank you for doing this.
Yeah.
I had a lot of fun learning about all this. What's your favorite part of all this? What's your favorite part of being a principal?
Gosh, there's a lot of good.
A lot of good. That's good.
Watching the kids grow. I get to have them for multiple years, whereas in the classroom, I just got them for one most of the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, every once in a while, you got somebody repeating.
Yeah.
Watching the kids grow, working with the teachers, just being a team with them, they bring so many ideas, so much expertise, so many stories that would just bring you to tears, inspire you, make you angry sometimes. So I've just gotten so many more experiences just by talking to them, picking their brains, listening to them, watching them work. And that's been an amazing part in this role. Now that I'm a little bit more separated from the students. But as a teacher, no doubt, watching the kids learn.
Mm. Okay.
Best part.
All right. Well, that's all I got. So we out.
All right.
Thank you. And that'll do it. I had a lot of fun talking to Rachel. I didn't know much going in, and, you know, you have an idea of a principal, and it was nice to hear what her actual day in the life is like and what all she has to deal with and how she got to where she is. If you guys liked what you heard, or if you think maybe being a teacher and working your way of being a principal sounds like a good path to you, be sure to email me and I can get you in touch with whoever you need to talk to, whoever you might want to talk to find out more and get you one-on-one with someone and try to get you as much help as you can. You can email me at occupationpodcast@gmail.com. Again, that's occupationpodcast@gmail.com. You can also follow us on, you know, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can let us know there as well at O Nation Podcast. That's what it is on all those social medias. So thank you guys for listening. Subscribe, review, all that good stuff. We need to hear your feedback. I want to know how this is going. And at the end of the day, maybe, just maybe, principal is the occupation that you've been looking for.